Imagine your entire life. Like your savings, your entertainment, your ability to travel, even your access to food.
Right.
Imagine it isn't something you actually own anymore. Instead, it's something you rent.
Yeah, that's a terrifying thought.
And your landlord is this centralized digital system that can just, change the terms of your lease at any given second.
Without warning.
Exactly. Welcome, Truth Seekers, to a very special deep dive. On behalf of the Great Awakening Report, we are officially opening up the weekly briefing subscribers Q&A for the week of May 22nd.
It's a big one this week.
It really is. And if you're joining us today, you already know we are stepping entirely outside the mainstream media narratives. We aren't here to just read you the headlines.
No, absolutely not.
The mission today is to sift through all that overwhelming noise out there to find the actual signals. We want to follow those signals, watch how they weave into threads, and ultimately see where they converge into undeniable patterns. We're tackling the hard-to-find answers.
Which is exactly what this era demands. I mean, we are looking at a world characterized by, just total information overload, engineered distraction, and narrative volatility.
Yeah, it's dizzying.
It is. And clarity doesn't come from just consuming more content. It comes from discernment. You know, stepping back and really observing the machinery behind the events. We are in an era of systemic breakdown, but also the rise of human sovereignty.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because looking at this May 22nd Q&A document, the subscribers aren't just asking what is happening anymore.
Right, they see what's happening.
Exactly. They want to know why.
Yeah.
Why all these massive shifts in geopolitics and our economy and technology, like, why are they all happening at the exact same time? It feels like we are watching a controlled demolition.
It's the defining question of our time, really. The reason everything feels like it's happening at once is because modern civilization is just deeply, precariously interconnected.
Everything touches everything else.
Exactly. We aren't experiencing isolated disruptions anymore. We are looking at overlapping systemic pressures. The physical and economic realities people are dealing with every single day, they're part of a much larger restructuring.
Let's start right there, actually, with the economy, because that's what's hitting everyone's wallet right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Looking at the persistent inflation, the massive debt bubbles, the constant government interventions, I kind of look at it like a slow leak in a tire rather than a sudden blowout on the highway.
It's a good way to put it.
And the briefing talks about this as a managed decline. But I have to push back a little here, you know. Is it really controlled?
You're wondering if they're actually that capable.
Right. That implies a level of hyper-competence from global leaders that, frankly, I just don't think we see in reality. Couldn't this just be sheer incompetence masquerading as a grand strategy?
I mean, it is really tempting to view it as a binary. Like, either there's a room full of evil geniuses pulling levers, or it's just total bumbling incompetence.
Yeah, the two extremes.
But the reality is closer to institutional self-preservation. The briefing refers to this phenomenon as prolonged constriction.
Prolonged constriction.
Right. Think about it from the perspective of the institutions that hold the debt and manage the systems. An uncontrolled sudden collapse is incredibly dangerous for them.
Because they lose everything.
Exactly. Our financial systems rely entirely on the illusion of stability. If everything crashes at once, you get mass panic, a sudden freeze of all supply chains, and an immediate unified uprising from the public. They lose total control.
So you let the air out of the tire slowly, so nobody notices the car is dropping?
You let it out just slowly enough that people internalize the friction as normal. By managing a gradual decline, institutions create exhaustion instead of unified resistance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the mechanism is totally psychological. When prices go up, say, 5% every few months, you complain, but you adapt.
Right. You buy a cheaper brand, you cancel a vacation.
Exactly. People are forced to slowly adapt to higher costs, lower living standards, and just constant low-grade uncertainty. You get used to the new normal over time. They maintain functionality just enough to preserve order while the structural stress accumulates quietly.
Okay, the tire leak analogy works, but here is the terrifying part. That economic tire leak is happening while the car is driving straight through a global war zone.
It really is.
The briefing highlights this incredible feeling that global conflict is expanding literally everywhere simultaneously.
Yes, the ambient conflict.
Right. We aren't just looking at one localized war. You look at the news and you've got tension between NATO and Russia, the Strait of Hormuz, disruptions in the Red Sea. It is constant ambient pressure.
Yeah.
What stands out to you when you look at the news? It's not just one war, it's everywhere.
Ambient pressure is the exact right term. Because conflict has fundamentally evolved, we are still conditioned to think of war as, you know, two armies fighting over a piece of physical territory.
Like lines on a map.
Exactly. But the battles we are seeing right now, all these overlapping hotspots, they're over system control. They are battles over the actual infrastructure of globalization.
Break that down for me. What does a battle over system control actually look like?
It looks like choke points. The Red Sea and the Strait of Hormuz aren't just geographical locations. They are the literal arteries of global commerce and energy.
Right.
Over a quarter of the world's oil moves through these specific narrow corridors. So when you see tensions flaring there or near critical undersea data cables, you aren't just seeing a territorial dispute.
You're seeing leverage.
Exactly. You are seeing nations and non-state actors fighting over the ability to turn off the lights or stop the shipping containers of their rivals. This is why the conflict feels ambient. It never really begins or ends. It's just a continuous low-boil reshaping of global access.
Hmm. So if the domestic economy is being deliberately throttled into a slow decline, and the geopolitical landscape is locked in a state of forever tension over shipping lanes and data cables, what does that do to the average person's mind?
It breaks them down.
Right. How do they view the people in charge? And I want to be really clear here for the listener. We are not endorsing any specific political viewpoint from the briefing, left or right.
Oh, wow.
We are just neutrally reporting on the data it presents.
Which is very telling data.
It is. It just looks at the raw, undeniable fact that public trust is collapsing across the board. Governments, media, healthcare, finance, it's all fracturing.
What's fascinating here is the specific mechanism causing this fracture. It's the widening, unbridgeable gap between official narratives and lived experience.
Yeah.
Like when the central bank or the official messaging insists there is an economic recovery, but a family feels persistent, crushing strain every single time they go to the grocery store, that cognitive dissonance breaks their trust.
Because you can't tell someone it's raining when they're standing in a desert.
Exactly. The reality doesn't match the broadcast. And that causes a profound structural shift in society. We are rapidly moving away from a society based on centralized consensus.
People are just turning off the news.
Right. For decades, populations relied on a singular institutional narrative, you know, the evening news, to tell them what was true. Now we are seeing the rise of decentralized, individualized perception. People are prioritizing their own independent discernment.
But that brings up a massive, terrifying paradox that the subscribers really zeroed in on.
The digital control grid.
Yeah. As everyday people are pulling your trust away from centralized institutions, those very same institutions seem to be tightening their technological grip on our daily lives. The digital gateways.
It's a race for control.
I brought up renting your life earlier. It's like moving from owning your own physical DVD collection to relying entirely on a streaming service.
That's a great comparison.
It is super convenient, it's sleek, it's modern. Right up until the moment the platform decides you violated a term of service, or they just don't like you, and they revoke your password.
And then it's gone.
Suddenly your entire library is just gone. Are we quietly moving toward an access-based control system for everything?
Actually, that DVD analogy is the perfect way to understand the mechanics of what the World Economic Forum and other institutions have famously dubbed, you know, you will own nothing and be happy.
Which always sounded like a conspiracy theory.
Right. For a long time, people treated that phrase like a vague philosophical concept. But look at the actual technological infrastructure being laid down right now. Digital IDs, central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, and AI-governed algorithms.
Right, and a CBDC isn't just Apple Pay or a digital balance on your banking app.
Far from it. The money in your bank app right now is a digital representation of a fiat currency. A central bank digital currency is programmable money.
Programmable.
Yes. It is issued directly by the central bank, and they can code rules into the currency itself.
Oh, wow.
Imagine a scenario where your digital wallet simply won't let you purchase a plane ticket because an algorithm determined you've exceeded your carbon limit for the month, or your funds literally expire if you don't spend them within a certain time frame to stimulate the economy.
That is wild.
This represents a fundamental shift from outright ownership to permission-based participation.
Permission-based participation. So your access to banking, to communication, to transportation is mediated through a centralized digital system. You are entirely reliant on platforms you do not control. You're a tenant in your own life.
And AI filtering acts as the ultimate gateway there. It determines what information you are even allowed to see, what transactions are flagged as suspicious. It's an automated, frictionless form of control.
But what I love about this briefing is that it doesn't just outline the doom and gloom. It highlights that people are seeing this trap being set and they are reacting.
Absolutely. The tightening of this digital grip is directly fueling a massive counter movement focused on sovereignty. We are seeing an explosive surge in homesteading, off-grid living, local food sourcing, parallel economies.
People are just opting out.
Yeah, they're looking at the programmable future and actively trying to reduce their dependency on these centralized systems before those systems become completely inescapable.
I have to laugh a little because every time I read about the homesteading movement, I think about my complete failure to keep a single tomato plant alive on my balcony last summer.
It takes practice.
It really does. But it really isn't just a trendy aesthetic anymore, growing your own food, finding a local farmer, holding physical assets. It's becoming a tactical necessity.
It really is.
But okay, let's pivot. Because while the socioeconomic grip is tightening and people are pushing back by trying to decentralize, the establishment's narrative about reality itself is cracking open in some truly bizarre ways. Here's where it gets really interesting. The briefing dives into the sudden acceleration of UAP and UFO disclosure.
Yes, the disclosure timeline.
We're talking military acknowledgement, high-level whistleblower testimonies under oath, congressional hearings. I have to ask, why now? Is this disclosure a coordinated distraction from the managed economic decline and digital control grid we just talked about? Or is it a genuine paradigm shift perfectly timed with the collapse of traditional institutions?
The subscribers to the briefing suggest a deeply interconnected answer. You have to look at the mechanics of how paradigm-shifting information is released. They view this current wave of disclosure not as a sudden burst of transparency, but as psychological acclimatization.
Psychological acclimatization,
mm-hmm.
Meaning getting us used to the extraordinary drop by drop.
Precisely. If an institution drops a reality-shattering paradigm shift on a population all at once, you know, admitting we are not alone or that advanced technologies have been hidden, you get ontological shock. You get chaos.
People would panic.
Right. But if you introduce it incrementally over years, a leaked military video here, an ambiguous congressional hearing there, a quiet declassification on a Friday afternoon, you normalize the extraordinary. You reduce the stigma.
And people are just too tired to care.
Exactly. What's fascinating is the timing. This profound expansion of our understanding of reality is happening exactly when traditional narratives across politics and economics are at their absolute weakest. Mm-hmm. It's being introduced to a population that is already deeply distracted and exhausted by systemic instability.
Which is such an important point. We are staring up at the skies trying to process these massive existential questions about the universe. But we have to come back down to our physical bodies.
Yes, the biology.
Because you cannot process a massive paradigm shift if you are too physically exhausted to even get out of bed.
Yeah.
Which brings us to a really sobering part of the briefing, what it calls the great poisoning. And again, looking at this neutrally, we aren't making medical claims here, but we are analyzing a massive cultural shift in how people view industrial agriculture, pharmaceuticals, and environmental toxins.
People are definitely connecting the dots. They are connecting the dots between skyrocketing rates of chronic illness, chronic fatigue, hormonal imbalances, and the industrial systems that produce our food and our medicine. The briefing outlines the theory that constant exposure to highly processed foods, agricultural pesticides, microplastics, and endocrine disruptors.
It's just scramble your hormones, right?
Exactly. They literally scramble your body's hormonal signaling. And this is creating a systems-level degradation of human biology.
But the briefing takes it a step further than just pointing out a public health failure. It connects it back to what we discussed at the very beginning, the managed decline. How does widespread biological degradation actually serve the people managing the economic system?
It comes down to energy and resistance.
Really?
Yeah. A population suffering from chronic inflammation, neurological stress, and emotional exhaustion has drastically lower physical and mental resilience. Think about the energy required to build a parallel economy, to learn how to grow your own food, to push back against a digital ID system.
It takes a lot of work.
It requires immense vitality. From an institutional perspective, a fatigued, biologically degraded population is significantly easier to manage. They simply don't have the bandwidth to resist or to build viable alternatives. They become dependent on the medical system to function and dependent on the convenience of the digital system to survive.
Wow. So it's not just that sickness is highly profitable for the pharmaceutical industry, which it obviously is. It's that exhaustion is a mechanism of control.
Exactly. And the response to this realization is a massive cultural shift toward health sovereignty.
Right.
People are realizing that detoxification, sourcing local organic food, filtering their water, these aren't just trendy wellness choices anymore. They are direct, tactical acts of defiance.
That's a powerful way to look at it.
Maintaining biological health and mental clarity is now seen as the absolute foundational requirement for personal sovereignty. You cannot be free if your biology is compromised.
That ties every single thread we've discussed today together so perfectly.
Right.
We've got economic constriction. We have ambient, endless geopolitical conflict. We have the rise of a permission-based digital society, the fracturing of our physical reality with UAP disclosure, and deep biological stress.
So a lot to handle.
It's overwhelming. How on earth does a human being actually survive this convergence of pressures without completely breaking down? That is the heart of the final section of the briefing. Spiritual awakening as an adaptive response to systemic breakdown. I kind of see it like this. It's like you are forced to upgrade your internal operating system because the external Wi-Fi keeps dropping.
Oh, I like that.
You know, you can't rely on the external network to give you stability or truth anymore. So you have to drastically boost your internal processing power just to function in the chaos.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, the internal operating system upgrade is a powerful way to frame it. For a long time, spirituality in the modern Western world was treated as something purely philosophical, or maybe like a weekend yoga retreat.
Yeah, an abstract luxury.
Right. But this briefing highlights a massive shift in how truth seekers are operating. Awakening is now being framed as an adaptive survival mechanism.
Survival through consciousness. How does that work practically on a Tuesday when your rent is due and the news is screaming about World War III?
It works through nervous system regulation. Because of the constant exposure to information overload, economic pressure, and psychological stress, the baseline human nervous system is redlining. It's stuck in fight or flight.
Always on edge.
Exactly. So people are turning inward to meditation, to deep intuition, to consciousness work, not to escape the world, but to develop practical, tactical self-regulation.
Just stay grounded.
Yes. They need emotional resilience to remain stable while the external environment rapidly changes. As trust in centralized authority completely collapses, the ultimate realization is that true stability can no longer come from external dependence. No politician, no central bank, and no media anchor is coming to save you. Stability has to come from internal sovereignty.
So what does this all mean? We've covered the entire map of this May 22nd Q&A. We've looked at managed economic decline, ambient system conflict, the collapse of institutional trust, the trap of programmable CBDCs, the slow drip of UFO disclosure, biological sovereignty, and spiritual adaptation. That is a staggering stack of interconnected patterns.
It really is.
How do we wrap this up and honor the core message of the Great Awakening Report? What is the ultimate takeaway for the listener?
The ultimate takeaway isn't just about moving to the woods and going off-grid. It's the realization that true sovereignty isn't just about escaping the system. It's about making yourself biologically, financially, and mentally expensive to control.
Expensive to control.
Right. The global transition we are experiencing is forcing a shift in how we interact with reality itself. The external world is going to keep moving through these intense cycles of pressure. The pace isn't going to slow down.
No, doesn't seem like it.
But the briefing reminds us that when you ground yourself in simple, practical principles, you know, integrity, biological health, accountability, internal stability, you stop being pulled by fear. You
Yeah.
step into the observer position. You start observing the patterns instead of being consumed by the noise. The most vital transition happening right now isn't the geopolitical one, it's the internal one.
Making yourself expensive to control. I absolutely love that. Which brings me directly to you, the listener. I want you to really check in with yourself after hearing all of this. When you scroll through your feed later today, are you reacting to every sensational headline, feeling your heart rate spike? Or are you pausing to recognize the deeper mechanisms beneath them?
It's an important question.
It is. We've talked all about how these massive external systems, the financial markets, the digital platforms, the industrial food complex, they are fighting tooth and nail for your attention, for your access, and for your energy.
Every single day.
So, if the ultimate transition of this era is truly an internal one, here is a final thought for you to mull over today. How much of that external noise are you actively, voluntarily choosing to let into your mind every single day, and what would actually happen both to your biological energy and your personal sovereignty if you simply decided to turn it off?
That's the real challenge.
Thank you to all the truth seekers for joining us on this deep dive into the May 22nd weekly briefing Q&A. Until next time, stay grounded, stay aware, and keep connecting the dots.